And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Might be a Domino's delivery driver, but I'm wearing the taco socks. That's because it's dressed for the job you want, not the job you got.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, July 16th. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie Tass Mellis.
What's up, boys?
What's up? Got my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the pirate ship, Lee Ellis.
Fire our pirate friends.
This guy's incredible at improv. What? And finally, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Leave a comment below the vid. Help us defeat the algorithm. And if you haven't already, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep sending in your questions and your comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And finally, go get yourself some No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. A beautiful website, immaculate items always available. All right, on today's drop, we're going to set up Saturday night's Game 5, pivotal Game 5 in Phoenix of the NBA Finals. We got the up-down report. Tweet of the night, rapid fire fun, but, how was last night's happy hour? I gotta know, I wasn't there. Can somebody give me the highlights, TK? What did I miss out on last night?
Well, I would say the first highlight was when Lee showed up on the stream looking like one of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis. Okay. After an outdoor performance, dripping in sweat, shirt buttons open to mid-chest, bangs down on his forehead, giving us that ASMR.
Hey, guys. It's very hot here tonight.
You were whispering all happy hour because, what, the family's sleeping beside you?
I had my wife and our youngest son in one bed in front of me, and I had our nine-year-old son in mum and dad's bed behind me, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to wake up someone here. Who's the one I don't want to upset the most? It's my wife. So I thought I'd be closer to my nine-year-old son. If I wake him up, I can handle that one. Wake up your wife for no apparent reason. A little bit of a tougher morning you have after that. But yeah, Copenhagen is just going through a heat wave right now, and they just don't have air conditioning. So it's kind of like you just have to
shiny now that I think
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm not in Copenhagen at the moment. I am at the Legoland Resort in Billund, which is about 3 hours west.
It honestly looks like
Copenhagen.
You're in front of a fake background to me. It's like a green screen.
Oh, man, yeah. So it's stinking hot out here as well. So I'm sort of – I had a shower before the show to try to sort of just, you know, cool myself down. Didn't really do much, though. I came back out and I'm back in the midst of the heat here in the room. So
I see the curtains are moving a little bit, though. Is there some air flowing?
There is a bit. I've got it open. Yeah, I mean, just got there shouldn't be any background noise. I mean, I'm taking a bit of a risk here that there won't be some yahoos out the back there screaming and making noise coming into the show. But I just had to, man. It's just boiling hot in here. The sun is beaming down into my windows as well. So
so you're at Legoland now, and you're at the hotel attached to Legoland. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. The Legoland Hotel. It is like Las Vegas for kids. It really is. Like we caught a train down from Copenhagen this morning to a town about 15 minutes out of Billund.
Okay.
And then we had to wait 45 minutes for a bus to get to Legoland. And so at this point, I've got a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old who are just like, just get us to Legoland. we're on the bus, right? We're on the bus. We get to a roundabout and it has Legoland 1, as in 1 kilometer away from where we are. The bus is turning and then turns the other way because we have to go and make another stop at the airport. Oh, my God. I was like... Oh, my kids were just like, it says Legoland that way. I know.
Stop the bus. We're walking.
I'm like, kids, just calm down. We've got to pick up other people who are on the bus here. And, they were not happy. Because, you know, it was actually the airport we went. So we waited there for another 10 minutes. And then finally some people come on. And my nine-year-old, finally. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. How many other nine-year-olds have flown over here just to go to Legoland? Yeah. You have to wait an extra 10 minutes. But then we came into the hotel and it was like we were checking in. And there's obviously just Lego everywhere. There's buckets of Lego right here in the foyer. and the boys, you know, they just took off. And I'm like, I probably should keep an eye on them. But then I'm also like, yeah, they're probably fine. They went off and I saw them for about 10 minutes, about 20 minutes ago. And they've gone out now to do some exploring. But JD, got some good news for you.
Yeah.
Check out this baby I've got here in the...
Whoa!
Yeah, look at that.
Indiana Jones.
Now, listen.
You built that already? That's crazy, man.
Look, I haven't got tons of room in my luggage here, JD, but I'll make an exception. You just give me the word. I'll bring back Indiana Jones, a life-size Indiana Jones for you.
Yes, bring it back. Bring it back. Oh just God. Sit it next to you on the plane and buy a seat for him.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper to actually buy a plane ticket than to buy the Indiana Jones Lego here. You know, because that's the thing. When we checked into our room, there was actually two little Legos already on the kids' beds as well. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like just putting a free bottle of champagne in the room. In fact, it's not free, is it, in Vegas? They put it there and you're just like, you just arrived. You're feeling in a good mood. You're like, right, I'm going to pop this champagne and get into it. So, it's going to be a Lego overdose here for the next couple of days with my boys. And
I can't believe we didn't send like a camera crew with you to Legoland. Like Lee in Legoland, I'd watch the hell out of that series.
Well, there's a reason, Skeets. As Sam Yonono says, what happens in Legoland stays in Legoland. That's the last tale we're hearing. Bricks.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so I assume there was a lot of Lego talk on last night's happy hour?
We learned about a new app. Lee gave us the info on one of the most revolutionary apps that I've actually heard described. Apparently, you take any amount of Legos, you point your app at it, and it tells you what to build.
Yeah. That's
some incredible technology there. Like, we should probably use that technology for something besides building Lego. But at least a good start, I would say.
Okay. All right. So I missed a blast, Tass. It was fun. You guys went like an hour and a half, I saw. It must have... conversation and the Jim Beam must have been flowing, I guess.
Yeah. It's not called happy hour and a half or nothing.
That's
true.
You got
to go an hour and a half.
That's exactly right. Okay. Well, let's get into our Game 5 preview. And before I start, just a reminder, we're going to be back this weekend. Sunday morning, we've locked it in. 10 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. We'll do a Game 5 NBA Finals recap podcast, just like we do throughout the week. But we're going to do it on Sunday because the game is on Saturday night. We're tied at two games apiece. What's the biggest question at this point of the series heading into Game 5, Tass? You get us started.
Well, it starts with Chris Paul for the Phoenix Suns, for me, because the steadiest player on the Suns has not been that steady the last two games. As Monty Williams said after game four, he said, listen, they got 19 more shots than we did. Part of that is offensive rebounds, and part of that is on Chris Paul, mm-hmm. who's had 4, 6, and 5 turnovers the last three games. That ain't Chris Paul. He takes care of the ball. He's like an NFL quarterback. He doesn't give it to the other team. If he has at least 4 on Saturday night, it'll be the first time Paul has committed 4 or more in 4 straight games since 2011, regular season or playoffs. That's a long time. It's a decade. That's an Anthony Slater stat, a Slater stat for you. And I think if Chris Paul is taking care of a little bit of the ball, as well as shooting more, he had 12 less shots in Milwaukee combined those two games than he did in Phoenix. I think that assertiveness... Chris Paul being the leader, I think will trickle down to other guys like DeAndre Ayton, who I think, you know, takes his lead from Chris Paul. Also was a little bit worried that he was going to get into foul trouble, so he wasn't assertive all night. His little floaters were all floaters, and they weren't jams like he tends to do. He wasn't aggressive. He really wasn't. I think it sort of got in his head. Now you look at Chris Paul and you say his team shot 50%. Isn't that what a point guard's supposed to do? That's totally true. But it's also a math game. I mean, Chris Paul's gotta shoot more. He's gotta like put it on his shoulders, and I think everybody else will fall in line. And you see at the end of the game, you know, the Bucks kind of had a special moment there at the end of game four. The Suns leading the whole way. The Bucks come back. You know, one of the blocks in NBA Finals history from Giannis. It could be one of those moments we look back on and say, yeah, that swung the momentum to their side. Those guys have been playing together for so long. In 2017, Chris Middleton had strep throat, and Giannis said, I want to play with that guy because he played through it. I forgot that moment, but that happened against the Raptors. But anyways, like, they've been together for a long time. Now the Suns have to create sort of their moments on their side because the Bucks are obviously not going to give it away. The Suns have to go out and take it. And so it's about the grind for me. It's about Ayton getting out in there and boarding. It's about Chris Paul shooting more, not turning it over. It's just one of those, you know, those sort of regular, boring basketball things that like a Hubie Brown or a Jack Ramsey or a Mike Fratello would tell you. We shot 50% and we lost. How the heck does that happen? That just doesn't happen in NBA Finals. Period. So take care of the ball. Ayton's got to be more of himself. I think you can give him a bit of a pass. One game after getting into foul trouble for the first time in his playoff history and his first playoff run, he had a bad game, even though he boarded 17 times, but he wasn't himself. So I think the shooting could still come back to earth for the Suns, but they got to do other things. I mean, shooting 50% is just hard to do, but 19 less shots got to change.
What about you, TK? What is something you got your eye on heading into Game 5, or a big question at least?
I'm also watching that shooting. In particular, will the Suns be able to shoot three-pointers again? Game 2 in Phoenix, last time they played there, the Suns hit 23s. Obviously, that was the biggest blowout so far this series. Devin Booker hit 7 of them. 3 other starters for Phoenix hit 3 three-pointers. You throw in their Game 1 performance, 31 threes for the Suns in their wins, but in Milwaukee, the Suns went cold. 9 in game 3, 7 in game 4. That's 16 total. That's not going to cut it for a perimeter-based team. They want to get those driving kicks going. Sometimes I feel like the Suns can struggle to put pressure on the rim, especially when Ayton really isn't getting involved. He's their main paint scorer. The offense you're getting from a guy like Jay Crowder, Mikhail Bridges, Cam Johnson, it's mainly going to be three-pointers, and that's almost half the rotation right there. Those guys got to be able to shoot playing in front of their home fans. The Bucks, meanwhile, they've been way more up and down. 16 in game 1, 9-2, 14-3, 7-4. I guess that bodes well for a pivotal game 5. They should be in the double digits playing on the road again. But, you know, sometimes it comes down to three-pointers. The Suns look their best when all of their perimeter guys are able to actually hit threes, as most teams do. But when you're built around guards, when you're built around a small ball four in Jay Crowder, and all the guys you're bringing in off the bench are going to be basically wing players or playing up a position, you got to be able to make threes. So that's going to be something I'm watching for. And I feel like Tass is 100% right that Chris Paul, I don't know, the full court pressure seems to be getting to him a little bit. And he's kind of just content to dish the ball away and hope it comes back rather than going out and taking over. When Booker went out with his fifth foul early in the fourth quarter, that should have been Chris Paul time. You know, the Suns were leading at that point. Chris Paul, throughout his career, has been, I'll play point guard for three quarters and take over in the fourth quarter. We did not see that at all in game 4. And if he's hitting threes, the Suns look so much better as well.
Lee, what about you? Big question for game 5.
Well, we saw Chris Middleton really step up in game 4 there. So the question becomes now for me is, will Drew Holiday, I know he's got a lot to do defensively and he has been very good, certainly those two games in Milwaukee against Chris Paul, but will we actually see a Drew Holiday really good offensive game? I mean, he had 21 points in game 3, probably his best offensive game of the series, but he just hasn't been shooting the ball well enough. 4 for 20 in his last game, including 0 for 5 from downtown. Now, they won the game and his defense really impacted what Chris Paul did. So great. He's not, it's not like he's out there just hot dogging it on both ends. He is contributing, but I just think you're going to get it. It's hard to see Chris Middleton having another 40-point game in Phoenix. I think if you can get 20 out of Chris Middleton and maybe 20 to 25 out of Drew Holiday, I think that's the best chance the Bucks have of actually winning, because Giannis is probably going to have to do a lot again, as we saw in those first two games where he was great. But when the Bucks get that supporting help, and again, you saw it from Middleton there, massive in game 4, I just think they're a much better team. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? When more players contribute, the team is better. And remember those two games Giannis missed against the Atlanta Hawks? They got great contributions from a lot of their starting five. Now Drew Holiday, I mean, he was brought in specifically. They gave up a lot to get him. Now let's actually see if he can, in the biggest game really of the Bucks season here, game 5 Saturday night in Phoenix, if he can actually swing the narrative back to it, like saying this is why they upgraded from Eric Bledsoe. I mean, again, he's been better than Bledsoe, but he probably hasn't been as good as we would hope to have been seen from him on the offensive end. So now he's got a chance to do that, because this is the Bucs season, I think, right here. I really do believe they have to win game five to win the series. Obviously, they can lose it and then win game six and seven and still win, but I feel that game five is pretty much a must win for the right. for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have to win it to give themselves a chance to close out the series at home. If they can do that, it's going to have to be contributions from everybody, and Drew Holiday is one of those guys who he needs to have a good shooting performance, a really good solid
right.
shooting
hit a couple threes. I mean, yeah. it's sort of funny what you're saying with also Chris Paul needs to do that too. It's like, which one of these guards is going to maybe have the three or four three-pointers hit in this particular game, some timely ones, and help their team's chances of winning it. Do you believe in momentum, Lee, when it comes to a series? You know, I see the people say, oh, the Bucks have all the momentum right now.
Yeah, no, I don't, to be honest. No. I absolutely don't, because if it did, then a series would probably be a sweep every time, wouldn't it? Because,
wow.
You know, because wow. Yeah, it's like confidence, you know, like, you know, people say, oh, I'm confident. Well, you can say you're confident all you want. But honestly, confidence to me is body language, is how you look, is where the shots that you take, is how you get into your flow, because mm-hmm. it's more of a feeling. It's not a thought. You know, I mean, you say it because you want to give off that sort of vibe that, like, oh, I'm confident, I'm going to go out there and win. But both teams are confident. Both teams think they're the better team. Both teams think they've got the momentum in some form, and both teams think, well, like, because if you're the Suns, you're like, well, we're due for a bounce back. You know, if you're the Bucks, we've got the momentum, so we're going to win. Yeah. None of that actually counts. It's whoever does play the best is going to go out there and win. So, no, I don't. I mean, certainly within a series, guys, more so because of matchups or just for whatever reason. I mean, we've seen it in other series, for example, like Terrence Mann playing in and out of a series for the Clippers, having a great game, but also in that same series, barely getting off the bench. So, you know, for whatever reason, some guys can feel it, but those sorts of things we talk about, they're cliches, but they don't actually exist, because mm-hmm. the Bucks, if they believe in it, great, but the Suns don't believe in it at all right. now. So
yeah, but I will say, like, a guy, Mikal Bridges, we could see why he might play better in Phoenix than he would on the road in a hostile atmosphere. You know, maybe. Because he was great, I thought. He was a lot better in the first two games in Phoenix, Tass. And he was like, we almost never talked about him in those games three and four. And I'm not saying he's the star player, but he's a starter, and he's, you know, an important player on this team and what they do on both ends. So I just wonder if some of those guys, specifically him, maybe even Ayton a little bit, have a better performance here in Game 5 with their crazy fan base going. And then what effect does that have on Giannis at the free throw line, some of their supporting players, like, is Pat Connaughton hitting three threes, you know, in Phoenix like he had those big ones in Milwaukee? That part I buy, but I'm with you, Lee, on the momentum bullshit. But, you know, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here, that
no.
younger players or players that don't have a lot of experience are generally going to play maybe better at home than they are on the road, especially in a finals setting, Pass.
Yeah. And, well, sorry to jump in. Sorry, just that. I mean, you know, I do believe in the hot hand theory, though, which is where. but again, that to me is that feeling, because you see a guy who's like feeling hot and he's like chasing the ball. Teams are trying to get him the ball because it's like, just, you know, just give him the ball. He's hot. He's feeling it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that can happen within a game. But, you know, from one game to the next.
You don't think it travels.
Once you go to bed, it's
yeah.
over.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Once you wake up in the morning.
To sleep on your Lego bed, is that a comfortable bed to sleep on? I wouldn't imagine it would be.
I'll find out tonight. I'll find out, yeah.
Sorry, let me ask.
Yeah. Let me ask. Do you believe in home court advantage? Do you believe
yeah.
in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it kind of comes down to. Yeah. Because Mikal Bridges was confident on the road. He still had the confidence. He still
right.
had the ability that he was going to score. He was 3 of 7 in game four. It was just a little bit quiet because
yeah.
he didn't get a lot of shots. The Suns didn't get a lot of shots. And Devin Booker was basically taking all of them because he was absolutely scorching. Cam Johnson came off the bench and looked like he was icing everybody every time he shot the ball. But it just came down to those last few minutes, and CP wasn't really the leader that he's got to be. And he has played way better at home in this series, the first two games versus the last two games. And I don't know, you kind of just see it. I mean, there's only a few special guys who can carry a team for a whole freaking series. You saw Giannis slow down a little bit and try and get everybody involved in game four. Chris Paul was great to start the series, took a little step back to
Well, he took a big step back, too, when Drew Holiday went on him for a good chunk of the game, too, right? Because for the first game, we were like, why is Drew Holiday not on him all the time? Right? That's been the one big change from Bud and the Bucks. Okay.
Yeah, he still played well. He had a 23-point game in game two.
And then it's gotten worse. And he had bad
games in games three and four. So, yeah, he's the good guys have bad games, and they bounce right back. Middleton has been slow, and obviously he hit that Ferris wheel and hit the top of it in game four. So, yeah, it's up to Chris Paul, and I think it really does have a trickle-down effect to his teammates and to Bridges and to everybody. And you know, the Bucks have figured out their rotation. I think that's kind of one thing, one part of their momentum is that they know who they are after, you know, the first game and the second game. Bryn Forbes was in the rotation. Now we know who our guys are.
Right.
See you later. To Bryn Forbes, Pat Connaughton's in, and the Suns kind of had to go through a little bit of that, you know, Dario Saric going out, and then they had the injury to Torrey Craig, and they should know who they are now, but CP can't fall anymore, you know, he can't give the ball away, but I don't know, I have some confidence in them bouncing back, because momentum is a bunch of shit. I mean, it really doesn't matter when the game starts, it really doesn't.
Fascinated to see where Chris Middleton falls on the Ferris wheel tonight, TK. Like, this is a real test to our Ferris wheel Middleton, proposal that we've thrown out to the world. It's like, in theory, it shouldn't be brutal, but it shouldn't be, of course, at the apex, the 40-point game. So we should have a good Chris Middleton game if the Ferris wheel is to be believed.
Yeah, I've been thinking about my experiences on the Ferris wheel throughout my life, and clearly the top, it's the best. Mm-hmm. You get that beautiful view, and man, what an incredible view it was during game four. That Cream City skyline just bussing. But also, you know, you have some fun on the downward slope of a Ferris wheel. Growing up in my family, we called it the Tootalo drop. When you feel it in your stomach, you know, some in your stomach, some in your genitals, if you will. Just that weird tingle feeling.
Yeah.
It feels weird, but it feels good.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get a weird but good Chris Middleton game where he struggles for three quarters and has 20 in the third or something along those lines.
Right.
This will really drive home exactly how much the Ferris wheel is a true analogy.
I can't wait.
Trey, let me jump in. You talked about the Cream City view. One thing that we were doing yesterday on the happy hour was a lot of GeoGuessr.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Oh, didn't go well?
Well, we made it to the championship round once.
Oh.
We missed, and the other person missed, and we had to go into OT. Lost it in OT, but I would say our percentage, we were maybe probably under 10% on accuracy last night. Not our finest performance.
Tough one.
What was your best pull, though? Did somebody really come through with, like, a clutch guess at one point? Or was it that bad?
I mean, it was just farmland after farmland.
Yeah, we kept
getting put in a lot of meadows.
I think we got Mexico twice, I think. I think that was it. So we got one where they had some Mexican writing on a wall, like a for sale sign. I think that sort of, we knew it was Central South America.
Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, man, there was a couple where I was just like, there's nothing out here. I mean, how's Google even out here? Like, imagine old Mr. Google driving along, just going, Jesus, who's ever going to be zooming in on this joint?
I checked some of the comments on the YouTube stream earlier today, and people are just crushing me. They're like, you operate Google Maps like a grandpa.
Oh,
they're like,
stop
clicking on the arrows. You just got to double tap on the road.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't know that, or else we would have said it yesterday. Like, you can just double click anywhere. Okay. No.
Yeah, we're not deep enough in the game to know the ins and outs. We did learn about Skeets. There's a 50-50 option. When you're getting down to it, you're like, I don't know what this is going to be. You hit the 50-50. They give you two flags, but that means now we got to study on flags.
I know flags way more than I know probably geography. So I would have been have some help there.
You will be. Yeah. Okay, that'll be good the next time we go in, because I'm bad at flags and also bad at geography. I think maybe we got one 50-50 right, but pretty much all
wrong. Yeah. I can't wait for that.
Can't wait
for the next happy hour / game night. I was sad to miss it. Okay, let's get to the player prop bets. We do this with every game. We made someone a lot of money in game four. What was his name? Shane, I believe it was.
Blake Adams.
Blake,
Not Shane at all. It was Blake. $50 made him $750 because he basically took all our crazy player prop bets for game four and he put them into a parlay and boom, he hit it big. So, game five, player prop bets. I'm sure Lee has who's going to score the first bucket.
Yeah,
that one's usually wrong, but what else do you got there?
Well, Blake's in the stream team right now.
What's up, Blake?
Why don't we maybe let Blake pick? I don't know.
No,
oh, he probably has
no, we're
no,
the
okay.
experts.
All right.
We're the brilliant basketball minds here. I got a horse up our ass for game four.
I'm taking the same approach I did in game four there where I didn't want to like pre-plan. I'm just going to scroll through and see what I like.
Go with your gut.
Going to Phoenix. I think the crowd's going to be hyped. I think DeAndre Ayton gets that winning tip. So I think we get a Suns bucket first.
I don't think the Suns have won it. Have they won a tip at all so far? I feel like Brooks won every one.
Sure.
Tass, I thought you'd be able to back me up on that. No. Nah, I think so, though. I think they have. But anyway, okay, you got Ayton winning the tip.
Yeah, and look, I think Devin Booker is clearly the guy they're going to target first to get that first basket. But I think the Milwaukee Bucks win this game. And this is paying $15 if you get a Devin Booker first basket, but the Bucks go on to win it. So,
here we go. That's
not too bad at all. I really do. I think the Bucks have figured it out. I think they just realized what they can do to win this game. But
they got the momentum, right?
Yeah, exactly. But Devin Booker, he's got the momentum as well after game four. He had the 42 points, and you know. Look, Devin Booker, he's been trying to channel a lot of Kobe Bryant references in his post-game chats here. I think he wants to try to get out and make a statement from the start. He hit the first basket of the last game, and I think in one of the other games too. So I think he's a safe bet. But like I say, give me the Bucks to win this. At $15, I think that's a pretty nice little return.
You can buy a lot of Lego with that.
Actually, maybe I should go heavy on that so I can afford all this Lego that I'm going to be buying this weekend.
That's smart. Okay, so Booker first basket. You got eight winning the tip. Booker first basket and Bucks winning. You got the money line there. All right, Tass, we'll go to you next. Player prop bet for game five. What do you like?
Well, I'm looking at Blake's comment here in the stream team. He thinks that Chris Paul is going for 30 and 10.
Wow.
Whoa, Blake.
Okay.
I mean, the line is 29.5 for points and rebounds combined, or points and assists. So you're good.
Just take that one then. Yeah.
Yeah. You're sailing, man. I mean, I was talking about Chris Paul at the beginning there, wondering what he's going to do. I do think it's a safe bet to go with the Chris Paul over on his props, but an even safer bet to go with the Suns' first half line. I'm sticking with that.
He's doing it again.
They're 5-0 after a loss, first half line. And it's 2.5 in this game, so jump on it. Suns, -2.5.
Suns are favored overall, I assume, right? In game five? By four and a half, something like that, with game five at home. Okay, so Tass is sticking with what worked in game four, that first half Suns cover. What about you, Trey? You got a player prop bet?
All right, Chris Middleton's over-under for points tonight is 24.5.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's perfect. He's had 25 or more in 9 of his 21 playoff games. I'm going over. I still think it's enjoyable when you're coming down from the peak.
Okay.
So give me an over on that. But my favorite lines on this were the over-unders for the role players who have their turnovers set at 0.5 over or under. Basically, do you think this guy's going to have a turnover tonight? And there's a lot of them, because obviously there's a lot of role players, you know, whose job is basically catch the ball and shoot a three-pointer for the most part. So I'll hit you with the role player. Tell me if there's a turnover tonight. Skeets, Jay Crowder.
Yes.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah. He might step out of bounds or something. Yeah.
Okay, so yes, over, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Lee.
Yes, he'll have a turnover, yes.
All right, okay. Yeah. Tass, Brooke Lopez.
Nope.
Wow.
Under, no turnovers. Skeets, PJ Tucker.
Ooh, yes.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, over. Bobby Portis, Lee.
He's on the road. If we were in Milwaukee, I would say no, but he's on the road. Bobby's a little bit hot, Bobby, cold Bobby. I'll say yes. Yes, he is.
The hot Bobby going over tonight. We got four more. Let's get him through quick. Tassie, Pat Connaughton.
Oh, yeah. He's good for one.
Good for one. Wow. Skeets, Cam Johnson.
I mean, at some point, we got to say somebody's not going to get one. So no for Cam Johnson, under.
There you go, bench guy. Good call, I think, on that one. Lee, Cam Payne. Ball handler.
Yes, ball handler. That's why.
I'm with you. Over on that one. And Tass, last one, Torrey Craig.
Tori C. Nah, it doesn't handle it enough.
Yeah, low turnover guy. So there you go. Throw these, what, nine names all in a parlay for the over-under on 0.5 turnovers. Crowder, over. Bridges, over. Tucker, over. Portis, over. Connaughton, over. Payne, over. Under on Lopez, Johnson, and Craig. What does that win you? No idea, but good luck.
I mean,
good luck to all the turnovers.
With all of that being just thrown at you, we gotta throw up laughing.
You're laughing!
That's crazy. That's real sicko betting right there.
Will this guy have one turnover tonight? 0.5.
Just sticking with insane bets here. I got an email because Space Jam, A New Legacy, I think, premieres maybe tonight, or at least opens up in theaters, and I think you can watch it online. We will be doing a film session, of course, for the new Space Jam in the coming weeks or so. But I got an email with actual bets. Lee, you'll love this one. It's for you. Who's going to score first? Granny minus 150 or Tweety plus 110? This is a real thing you could actually put a little money on, which is insane because people, of course, have seen the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember if Tweety got a bucket or not in the first one.
True. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got good that question. Advantage. He's got that advantage because he can be up so high and get a tip in, you know, put back. I say Tweety. I say he gets it.
Oh, wow. Well, you make some money on that one because he was plus 110. And then this one's for you, Tass. Who scores first? And they have the exact same line, minus 120. Speedy Gonzalez or the Tasmanian Devil? Do you back yourself?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. I'm going with Tassie. He's got it. I see these lines and it's nuts. What's going on?
I don't know.
And there's you can bet on Michael Jordan's appearance as well, whether he appears in the movie or not.
Yep.
It's plus 900, something like that.
So that means he's not going to be showing up, I assume.
Feels probably like
a big number.
Probably.
I mean, months ago, we were on this show saying, it's going to be there.
Yeah. You can also bet on what will happen first in Space Jam. A LeBron rundown block, like a chase down block, or he gets called for a charge.
Ooh, give me a charge.
Wow, you think LeBron will be called for a charge? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I just think that they would save a chase down block for a very last kind of thing that happens in the big game, right? Just like it was in real life.
Yeah.
They're going to save that for a clutch moment.
Yeah.
Whereas a charge is going to be controversial and maybe going to throw something in the way of the Toon Squad.
He's got to start bad.
Yeah. And he'll send the guy, I think, like off into just like another dimension.
He'll
get caught for the charge. And then LeBron will say,
it was a flop,
you know? And you know, maybe the guy was flopping, but it'll just be one of those, you know, super exaggerated things. So, yeah, that's going to happen early when LeBron's down. And then the block when he comes back,
I got one more insane one. You can bet on what will happen first in Space Jam, A New Legacy. Kyrie Irving gets injured, Chris Paul wears glasses, or Draymond Green talks trash. How absolutely weird is that bet? Chris Paul wears glasses? What the hell?
Well, I guess there's a Cliff Paul something, maybe.
Cliff Paul is going to be in Space Jam? There's going to be a reference to it?
Maybe.
There's no way. There's no way. Put me down for no way Chris Paul is wearing glasses. I find that's weird. But anyway.
No glasses. I'm with you.
All right. Let's take a break and then let's get into the up-down report.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with the No Dunks Drop podcast. Let's get into the up-down report.
Prepare your tubis. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, the up-down report. Let's see those thumbs in the stream team, up or down, and of course down in the YouTube comments as well, or tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. First one, Miami is John Hollinger's favorite landing spot for the GROAT, the greatest Raptor of all time, Kyle Lowry. In an article with Eric Kareen on The Athletic yesterday, Hollinger wrote, a sign and trade of Andre Iguodala, KZ Akpala, and Precious Achiuwa for Lowry would extend the Heat's cap room, and the Raptors would walk away with two young front court players. Tassie, up or down on Hollinger's Kyle Lowry to the Miami Heat sort of trade proposal?
Yeah, I had a good time reading this article. I am up on the Raptor side of things, for sure. I think Precious Achiuwa is starting to make his name known. I do believe in him. And the fact that they do get a couple of young parts for Kyle Lowry, who is, you know, this is the absolute time you have to trade him. I don't think you wait another year. I think that would be a pretty good return for Kyle Lowry. Do it. It's the first, you know, sort of forward-looking trade for Masai Ujiri and the Raptors. You got to trade Kyle Lowry now. I think that's a good return. When all is said and done, that's pretty solid. For the Heat, I mean, Kyle Lowry would definitely help. I would think that they would try and go bigger. We talked about the Bradley Beal possibility last week. I like that option a little bit more to try and dig for that. But, yeah, Kyle Lowry obviously would be a great, great get. I think it's time for the Raptors to move on. I mean, I'm not just buying the Precious Achiuwa stock because he blocked Kevin Durant for Team Nigeria. I always thought that he'd be great. The Raptors need a big, and he's sort of a perfect modern-day defensive guy to get everywhere. And the Heat, I mean, I just think they may be a little bit more than Kyle Lowry away from winning a championship right now. I think they should try and aim higher, but they got to aim. So it makes sense from Johnny Holly to be dropping this one.
What do you think, Lele?
Yeah, I think if you're the Raptors, if you can get those two young players for a guy who's basically gone anyway, why not? You know, Andre Iguodala, you can probably move him on as well if he doesn't want to go. He might not even want to go. He didn't want to go to Memphis. I mean, the Raptors... right now, are they in a better position than Memphis? Probably not. So maybe Iguodala's like, I'm not going there, so you're going to have to move me on, which wouldn't be bad if you're Masai Ujiri. You could trade him to get something else potentially in return. It wouldn't be much, though, for Iggy. If you can get those two young players, I agree. I think Achiuwa is, he's got some talent. He's got some potential. For a guy who Kyle Lowry's almost certainly not going to be a Raptor anyway, why not do that? Why not do it? But not sure if Miami will do that, though, really. I'm not sure if they'd give up those two young players for Kyle, who's good, and he's certainly in win-now mode, but they've got Dragic already, and they would have to move on from him, I guess, because he's kind of their old man point guard. And then what are they doing with Tyler Hero? Does he become their starting point guard next season? I mean, didn't have a great end to the season, but certainly I think he's their future.
What do you think, Trey?
I like the idea of Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler playing together in a backcourt, I'll tell you that much. And like Tass and Lee are saying, if Lowry's going to be leaving anyways, if you can get anything for him, I think that's good. Especially considering last year the Raptors did not get a ton from their center position. Mm-hmm. Baines, Boucher was good, but I don't necessarily know that that's your starting five in the NBA. Maybe Precious Achiuwa could be sometime in the future. Obviously, he's a defender as well, which is something the Raptors value. It just feels like a big offseason for Toronto right now, right? It's like we got the Lowry as a free agent. Maybe it'll be a sign-in trade. You're seeing Siakam show up in trade rumors left and right. Once again, hitting that fourth pick really changed things for him. It's like you can go in a whole bunch of different ways here, especially with a guy off the books and Siakam having had success in the NBA and being on, you know, I mean, he's on a big contract, but there's a lot of big contracts out there. And this is a guy that has proven it already in his career. So it definitely feels like we're going to be seeing quite a different Raptors team starting next season.
Yeah, within this same article, Kareen and Hollinger sort of like debated Tass whether it meant having the fourth pick in the draft and probably Jalen Suggs. Let's say he falls to them there. That's the spot he's going in most mock drafts. Does that automatically mean if you took Suggs that Lowry is gone? You know, Kareen says, no, why does it have to mean that? It doesn't. Where most people, Hollinger included, say, well, Yeah, you probably are now leaning into your future, and you've got your young backcourt in Suggs, it would be, and Van Vliet, and you've still got OG and Siakam, and you're trying to get some young big guys like an Achiuwa. That's Hollinger's thinking. But what do you think if the Raptors, like, do you think Lowry's there next season, I guess is what I'm getting at, especially now having a very high draft pick, which is very likely going to be a pretty young, talented guard?
No, I think the last half of the season show that they're ready to move on. They're ready to get a little bit worse to try and get a draft pick. They weren't playing for wins down in Tampa, and they wanted to move him at the trade deadline. I mean, we were talking about saying goodbye to Kyle at the trade deadline, and it felt like it was going to happen. And this is the time to do it. It just doesn't fit. The Raptors, they underperformed last year, but they had their one shot, and it didn't work out. And now, yeah, if you trade Kyle, you're still a very good team with Pascal and Fred VanVleet as your sort of go-tos, and then OG, and then whatever you build beyond that. But Pascal would be the oldest of the core guys at 27, and it'd be a solid, solid squad. But Kyle doesn't seem to fit. It's not a championship-winning team unless he doesn't want to leave, which doesn't seem to be the case. He seemed like he was saying goodbye during those press conferences.
He waved at us, Tass. He looked right at the camera, and he waved goodbye to you and me specifically. And then, my goodness, he was still there. It was crazy. All right, well, let's hear from people in the stream team. Like I said, if you like Hollinger's proposal there from both sides, does it make sense to the Heat? Cap room reasons, obviously getting Lowry to pair with Butler, like TK said, that's pretty damn good. And then, of course, from the Raptors side, is that enough? Are you just happy with anything in a sign-and-trade type of deal with Lowry moving? Let's hear from all of y'all. All right, next one. Guys, and JD, you can show these while I take us through the intro. We got Luka Doncic, Candace Parker, and Kevin Durant. They're among the star players who will be featured on the next NBA 2K video game release in celebration of the NBA's upcoming 75th season. Got legends Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Dirk Nowitzki. They're also gracing the cover of the NBA 75th Anniversary Edition, along with KD. You see it there. Parker will become the first WNBA player to grace the cover of NBA 2K in the GameStop Exclusive Edition. Huh? What? Okay. That's a thing, apparently. But Trey, up or down, just collectively here on all of these covers, all of these new NBA 2K athletes on them. What do you think?
Thumbs I only up. Got two thumbs, Skeets, but yeah. I would give a thumbs up to all of these covers. The Luka one is cool. The Legends one is also cool, though I will say, including Kevin Durant, a current player, yeah, a bit of a question mark for me. And then, of course, Candace Parker getting the cover in a Chicago Sky jersey. Ooh. Oh, as an Illinois boy, you know I gotta love that one. First appearance on a major sports video game cover for a woman. That's awesome. I think that's really, really cool. I don't know if Candace Parker is the GOAT in the WNBA. I don't think she's considered as such, no. But she is for me, no doubt about it, having followed her, you know, literally since high school up until now, coming back home and playing in Chicago. Very cool. Very cool to see it on the cover, but apparently I got to get a PlayStation 5, and then I've got to go to GameStop to get that particular one, Skeets? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's the part that's a little, like, almost disappointing, because you see the headlines, or I did at least, first WNBA star to be on the 2K cover, Candace Parker, you're like, wow, that's awesome. And then you're like, then you learn, oh, hold up, there's like, it feels like five different covers.
Many copies.
And there's only this one you can get at this particular place. It's like, it takes the shine off a little bit. I love to see it anyway, but what do you think, Lee? With all of these, I think the artwork is really cool too. I mean, I don't play these games anymore, but it actually looks really neat. But what do you say?
Well, JD, if you can actually bring up the one with the three of them on there, Kareem, Dirk, and KD.
Awesome.
Yeah, it looks awesome, but that's not what I think about with Kevin Durant as his first sort of move. Like the skyhook, the Dirk one-legged. With Kevin Durant, it's more like a jump shot. I honestly, when I first saw it, I thought that was Shaq, because I was like, oh, they're
putting... Oh, the pose, for sure.
Yeah,
that's a Shaq-like dunk right there.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only little part of it that I thought was... Because I thought maybe it was like, the silhouettes, but I thought Dirk, Kareem, and KD, and then it was Shaq, and then it would be someone else. And then I was like, hang on, that's Kareem, that's Dirk.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, oh, that's... Okay, that's Kevin Durant throwing down a dunk. But they're great. Of course they're great. And Dirk had a great tweet as well when he said, I don't know who these other two guys are, but thanks for putting me on the cover of 2K22.
Yeah, Tass, what do you add to this?
Yeah, I saw Dirk's his acceptance video, looking slim. Got a deeper V than Lee showing off his chest last night. So I mean, you can see sternum, but hey, looking slim, looking great. Yeah, I'm very excited for all of these players. Yeah, especially Candace Parker being the first woman on there, and she was pumped too. She was sharing the crap out of it on social media. Everybody congratulating her, and yeah, she had a great All-Star game as well, balling. She won the 3-point contest, and Allie Quigley did. My bad.
Third time, right? Yeah.
Third time. Yeah, she was celebrating Allie Quigley's win, right?
Yeah.
Honor to be sitting in the chair just down from her in the makeup aisle a few times at Turner Sports. So you know, she's a badass. She's great, and good to see her on the cover.
All right, our next one here, we have our Bradley Beal update. And it sucks. Beal's going to miss the Olympics after being placed into health and safety protocols. And the U.S. men's basketball team said it will replace him on this roster at a later date. Jeremy Grant also placed into protocol out of caution. Tonight's exhibition game versus the Australian team, that's been canceled. Wild shit going on right now. TK right here in our own version of our own stream here while we're making this show.
The tributary.
Yeah, you just shared a Woj tweet. And after spending 10 days, this is Woj tweeting this, after spending 10 days in Las Vegas preparing for the Olympics, Cleveland's Kevin Love is withdrawing from Team USA and won't travel to Tokyo. Now he's returning from a right calf injury, and that's what kept him out of part of the NBA season. I don't know if that's what the reason is he's pulling out here, but this is like breaking news here. So my God, there's a lot to unpack. When it comes to Beal and his replacement, I saw that Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins said they would like to see Team USA reach out to young Wolves shooting guard Anthony Edwards as a potential like Beal replacement. But now we've got Love to also replace. Again, this is like falling apart here. But Lee, the Beal part, okay? Do you like that idea from RJ and Perk of maybe replacing a Beal with Anthony Edwards? What do you say to that? Up or down on that idea?
Well, I'm going up on that because I think Jerry Colangelo, where his original idea with the sort of redeem team was get guys who are younger so they can get some experience playing in these international tournaments together, because that could help Team USA. I think that's one of the biggest problems they have is the lack of continuity and chemistry. So you get a guy, you know, who's only had one season of experience in the NBA, and if he can play in the Olympics and then he can play in a World Cup and then another Olympics. And, you know, before these guys get to sort of their late 20s where, you know, they do tend to need a little bit more rest and recovery and have a few more miles on in their legs. So I think that's the right idea. If you can get him, he looks like he had a great season, Anthony Edwards. He looks like he could be a good player in the international game, and a good opportunity for him to get some experience while he's not expected to obviously carry the team. But he could be that sort of guy in, you know, 5 or 6 years' time if he continues sort of where he started off his NBA career this season with the Wolves.
Tass, with this Beal idea, Anthony Edwards, you like it or you think it should be somebody else?
I do not think they should get Anthony Edwards. He was also limping around at the select camp a few weeks ago. He seemed to get injured, so I don't know if he's entirely healthy. And that just leads me to think that why would you mess with the chemistry anymore? The Australia-USA game is canceled tonight, so there's less continuity going to be had by these guys. I don't think you bring in anybody a week before when both Beal and Kevin Love are going to be leaving the team. The guys who they brought in as call-ups to play in these exhibition games, Sadiq Bey, I think would be fine in Beal's spot, you know, Darius Garland, Keldon Johnson as well. Those guys will take a backseat to the other guys, and it'll be just sort of a role where they are the grinder type guys as the youthful dudes. They've been there, they've played. I don't think you try and screw with this chemistry when you've got other guys coming after the finals too, with Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. So I think you need more guys that are just going to dish it to the other dudes and take a step back. So the young guys in Sadiq Bey, who is also had a great first year and set some rookie marks for burying threes, you know, play off the other guys who can handle the ball plenty and then go from there. I don't think you bring in newbies to this one.
Okay, so you're saying roll with those guys that were like stepping in from the select team in place of the finals guys that are eventually going to show up and just go with one or two of them, it sounds like you're saying, now that we have two spots to fill. I mean, they have no guys right now. Like, now they're down to 10 guys. Beal's out, Love's out. Jeremy Grant's in protocol. Hopefully he can still play. But now we're at 9, and we're missing 3 guys that are in the finals. So they're literally at six guys. So probably, you know, I think actually tonight's game was canceled, maybe more even from the Australian side of things as like a healthy safety protocol. But anyway, it's wild. But Trey, the Beal Anthony Edwards part, what do you agree more with Lee or Tass on this one? Because they're split.
I'm more so with Tass here. I don't think Edwards is the type of player Team USA needs to add because they've got a lot of ball handlers who want to go out there and score every single time. I like that he gets downhill, plays at the rim. That's great, but, you know, with Beal going out, with Kevin Love leaving the team, this is an opportunity for Team USA to grab a ball mover that they need and a big guy that plays defense that they need. And that's what we've seen through the first few exhibition games. If I've taken somebody from this past draft, because I do like the idea of bringing in young guys and getting them experience with the national team, I think I would go with Tyrese Haliburton as the guard to replace Bradley Beal. Mm. He's a great passer. He's kind of that fill-in-the-gaps sort of role player where he can catch and shoot, hit three-pointers, keeps the ball moving. He doesn't need a ton of shots. He can penetrate. He's got some size. He plays defense. LaMelo is another choice, but I think he's a little bit too notable just in the same way that Anthony Edwards is. Those guys are going to probably want to go in and handle the ball since they're used to handling the ball. I would love to see Haliburton as the guy who just connects the pieces all around the perimeter.
Jerry in the stream team says, any chance that any of the guys still playing in the finals, Booker, Middleton, Drew Holiday, that they back out?
Sure.
I guess. Absolutely possible. Yeah. First off, who knows if one of those guys were to get injured, heaven forbid, in one of these final games, but you also imagine they have some sort of like deal with Jerry Colangelo and Team USA. Like they've given their word, like, yeah, if we're on this team and you want us, then we'll jump on that private jet and be there in Tokyo for the start of the Olympics. So I think it's unlikely that they do. But yeah, I guess anything's possible.
It's possible.
I guess possibly the Olympics don't even happen at this point because it's so wild in Tokyo right now. But we will see. Shout out to the stream team for the thumbs up and down. All right, one more break. But we still got Tweet of the Night and Rapid Fire Fun, so don't go anywhere.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with No Dunks, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night.
Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the night comes from Atlanta Hawks star Trey Young, who voiced his displeasure with not being selected for the USA basketball team, not via his words in a tweet. He let this Isaiah Thomas video about the 1992 Dream Team speak for itself. Here it is.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
Well done, Trey Young. Didn't have to say it yourself. You let Isaiah say it. Isaiah, obviously not selected to the 92 Dream Team. Trey Young wanted to be part of USA basketball, especially with all these injuries happening. Yeah, I did say last week that if there was time to get a guy acclimated, you need somebody who's played recently. And Trey Young had just played in the conference finals. So it does sort of make sense to have him out there. But I mean, we're getting down to like 7 days here. So it's like these guys won't have a camp at all. I mean, real games start yeah. Next weekend. Trey would kind of be one of my picks to jump in there and just fire away. But I do like the sort of the ball movers. You need some of those instead of the star guys. But I like how Trey went about it. It's pretty funny. At least he's planted his flag for. Yeah, the next time around.
I guess
if
so.
If he doesn't get picked.
Well, I mean, he did tweet this before the Kevin Love news, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know one's a big and one's a small, and we do think Team USA needs another big or two, so it's unlikely it would be a guy like Trey Young, but you know, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's still in play that he ultimately gets selected for this team, but we'll see here.
As the Stream team has mentioned, Lloyd Pierce is an assistant coach for Team USA. Oh. Obviously, did not end well for Lloyd Pierce and Trey Young here in Atlanta. I wonder if there's some sort of beef there that may be keeping Trey Young off the team, because, yeah, he seems like a guy that would be a perfect sort of invite, especially considering that Popovich just said, we need somebody who is in playing shape. At least the Hawks were recently playing.
Right. And, I mean, the team is a little short on playmakers, too. I know we think of Trey Young, we think 30-point-per-game Trey Young, but he's also, like, one of the best passers in the league. So, setting up guys also makes sense. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about the Lloyd Pierce. Shout out to the Stream team for that one. All right, let's end this fantastic Friday podcast, The Drop, with some rapid-fire fun. Tassie, you have the questions this week. What do you got for us?
Here we go. Scottie Pippen is teaming with Airbnb to make his longtime Chicago house available for 3 nights during the Olympics. Yeah, strange world we're living in. Guests can use his custom basketball court, his movie theater, and his pool, where an outdoor TV ensures they won't miss a moment of the Olympic Games. And it costs just $92 a night, a little throwback to the Olympics when the Dream Team won in Barcelona. Which celebrity's house would you want to stay in, and what would you be sure to do while you were there? Skeets.
Well, first off, I don't believe for a second it's only $92 a night to stay at Scottie Pippen's house.
I mean, it's you talking fees?
I mean, this is...
You think Scottie's desperate for money and he just needs $700? He's doing this for publicity his name out there.
Yeah, I get that part. So I'm just, I'm skeptical it's actually going to be allowed to go to anyone for $92 a night. This is a smooth move to get the headlines and to get a question here on Rapid Fire. So I'll start with that. But I do love the cue, Tass.
The multi-level marketing plan. I like it. I like it. We'll say it's $92 to get this read on a podcast, and that will make the price go to the moon.
Right.
It's going to be $192 by the time we're done recording this.
Yeah, exactly.
Easily.
But what celebrity's house would I want to stay in? What would I do there? I guess sort of similar to a Pippin situation, I'm going to go with Drake's Mansion in Toronto. You know, one, obviously massive celebrity. We've seen parts of his house before in music videos. It looks like an insane place. It's in Toronto, which means, okay, I'm back home. I can see friends. And then I'm playing hoops at his custom indoor court. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I fell down a rabbit hole yesterday watching videos of them building his basketball court in his mansion. It's called the Sanctuary, it's called. And I mean... It's incredible, Lee. Like, it's unbelievable. It's like an arena, basically. Scoreboard. It's all custom OVO and all that. I'm playing hoops. Like, I've always wanted to play. I've always wanted to, like Scottie Pippen in this deal. I would love to to lie down in a bed and see the court right there, you know, and then go play pickup in the middle of the
so
night.
Romantic, so romantic, yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Nora's going to love me bouncing the ball.
So romantic.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going Drake's Mansion for sure. What do you got, Trey?
I want to go to Bobby Flay's house. I don't know what kind of house he's got, but I would 100% challenge him to a grill off. He would destroy me. The guy never loses and beat Bobby Flay. He's also a grill master. But then I would also challenge him to a dance off because Bobby Flay loves to get busy on the dance floor. Let's see it, JD. Let's see this man going crazy out on the dance floor. I think he's dancing to I Don't Want to Be a Player No More. This is just too good. Bobby Flay getting busy on the dance floor. I think I can take him down, but he's got some moves.
He does, and skill. You know what? When I grabbed that clip for you, I think he actually dances better slow. Have a look at this.
Okay, okay.
Like, the moves are just better. They just look better.
Bobby Flay chopped and screwed. He does got... He's got fluidity. I would have never guessed Flay's got fluidity, but... Gregor Morrison, sorry, bud. You just caught me off guard here, calling him another hot Bobby. Those are some hot moves. Heating it up on the dance floor. Yeah, people are calling me out. I'm not going to Guy Fieri's house because this is a joke answer. I do really want to go to Guy Fieri's house, but I got to take down Bobby first before Guy gets the call.
Yeah, it's like a level in a video game. You got to take down that boss before you can get to Guy Fieri, the final boss.
Slow. I like the slow cooker though. That's Bobby. Slow it down, baby. Low heat, Bobby.
He's taking up a lot of that dance floor, by the way. I know it's not a big dance floor, but like, there's not a lot of room for anybody else to get their moves off. He's just gobbling up that space like a nice cooked chicken he just did on the barbecue. I gave up halfway on that one.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
JD, celebrity, what are you going to do there?
Yeah, so I, too, am going north of the border. I'm going to Canada, Toronto, just outside of Toronto, Thornhill. We all got a little taste of this man's mansion back in the day.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Yo, real house party right inside of Russell Peters' house, man. Check it out. That's his house, man. Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's his house. That's Russell Peters' house. Mo Verney took us on a little bit of a tour, and I want to go see the full thing. Now, what would I do there? Well, what is a recipe for a good time? I'll tell you what a recipe for a good time is. A jacuzzi tub with LED lights.
Yep.
Glass mirrors. They got to be glass.
Yep.
Outdoors and a lounge. Do we have that, Mo Verney?
Wow, Russell Peters, sure know how to have a good time. A jacuzzi tub with LED lights, glass mirrors, outdoors, and a lounge.
Yeah, baby.
Outdoors
That's right.
is my favorite part.
I know.
LED He's lights.
Outdoors. Russell Peters' house has an outdoors.
It's classic awesome Mo Verney, just narrating what he's shooting at the time. Now, what else could I add to this recipe for a good time? How about a comic history of hip hop and Kiss?
This celeb's house has these cool people. Look at it.
That's awesome.
The last one. Yeah. What a pose on the last figurine.
I know, right?
He's look like my what the f*** angel to some degree. But he's serving you a platter. Nice. The Kiss figurines. Oh,
yeah. And finally, what could add to this good time? How about a giraffe, more Kiss, and a bar?
Wow. Russell Peter really loved Kiss. This is his house. Sorry. Ooh, man, there's a bar here, man.
This is his house.
I love how excited he gets for just like pretty basic things. There's a bar in his house. That's not that crazy. But he says it like he's never seen it before. Oh, wow.
I think that was the second bar, right? Well, there wasn't a bar on the top floor, if I do remember Mo Verney's stories correctly, but there was a handing out of drinks at a little thingamajig.
He has a anyway. He has a Heineken, definitely. Does he not? At this house party, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Personalized Heineken.
A personalized Heineken. Yeah, that's right.
JD, great job at bringing Mulverney into the world of No Ducks. We have been babbling about Mulverney for a decade.
Oh yeah,
I would say
at least.
But we haven't really shown videos. You know, we haven't really given the viewers a taste, a real taste of Vernon.
Yeah, JD messaged me this morning and said, "Do you happen to have any of the stories from when Mulverney went to Russell Peters' house party?" And I sent him back this screenshot of my folder, Mulverney Russell Peters House Party. One of my all-time favorite episodes of Mulverney,
for sure. Russell Peters House Party is what it's labeled.
I'm deleting files every single day, Skeets, after we record this show. We put together these massive files, but these are the ones I will never get rid of.
Amazing.
These are keep
Please
forever.
Don't. It brings me so much joy every time I watch those clips. I love it.
Not less Vernie, Trey. Mo Vernie. Don't delete that guy.
That's right.
Oh, my God. All right, that was good. We could just end on that, but we got two more questions.
Two more.
Space Jam 2 is out today online as well as in theaters. We'll be doing a review of it soon, but there are some changes from the first one. For one thing, it's the Goon Squad that LeBron must defeat, not the Monstars. And it's a lot easier to remember the names of the Goon Squad because they're more closely linked to the people who play them, like The Brow, Anthony Davis. Wet Fire, that's Klay Thompson because he's wet. He's getting it wet. It's fire.
That's horrible.
Fire.
Kronos, Time, that's Greek for time. Damian Lillard, Dame Time. White Mamba is Diana Taurasi. And Arachnica is Neka Agwumike.
Oh, okay.
Arachne, spider. She's a spider.
Okay.
Yeah, the Greeks invented every word known to man. All right. If you were a Space Jam character, what would your name be, Skeets?
I thought this was difficult, but I ultimately went back to a starters promo shoot that honestly we didn't do a lot with, if I remember correctly. It felt like we took these photos, they photoshopped them, and maybe we put them up on Instagram, and that was it. But I'm gonna be the Maestro.
Nice.
A great photo shoot.
Yeah. It was a fun photo shoot. We were trying to do like those old 80s sports posters sort of vibes. And they did a great job. But the Maestro, you know, I'll be setting up, I guess. Well, no, they're the Goon Squad. So I'll be setting up Wet Fire and Kronos.
Wet Fire.
What a weird name. Yeah, the Maestro's better than Wet Fire. So there, that's my answer.
Yeah, there's a lot of stars in this movie. Where's Kyrie Irving? I mean, he's just not one of the.
I don't know.
On the team.
Is
he's not
Chris
coming
Paul
off the
wearing
bench.
Glasses? I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Apparently, though, I have heard there's like an insane amount of Warner Brother or whatever references. It's like over 150 or something like that.
That's like Wayne's World, isn't it? With all the promos in there of all the stuff.
Space Jam 2 is just like Wayne's World. 2? No, the original Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Trey, what would your Space Jam character name be?
I'm going to be Twinkle Toes. Just kind of like a big old giant guy, but my weakness is these tiny, tiny feet down at the bottom. Surely it'll come into play sometime late in the game. I was debating between Twinkle Toes and Tiny Toes, but if I'm going to be taking down Bobby Flay, I'm going to have to be.
Yeah.
Gotta be Twinkle Toes if you're taking down Bobby. Give me that.
Oh, hold on. I actually just got another email. It says you can bet on who has smaller feet in the new Space Jam movie, Twinkle Toes or Tweety.
Take the under.
Even odds. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see you doing a little Speedy Gonzalez, you know, like. They're just in place like a wheel, like they're flying around. Yeah,
can't even see the feet; they're so small.
JD, your Space Jam character name?
Yeah, I had a difficulty with this as well, and then I realized I'm just going to go with Jason because since the beginning of my life, people have compared me to Jason, the serial killer from Friday the 13th 2 and onward. So. I'm just going to go with Jason.
Oh, wow. Is that under the umbrella? Do they own the rights to that?
Well, that's a good question. If he shows up, that'd be great. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Look at that bathrobe. It's killer, man.
Jeez.
Thank you.
Yeah. This guy really likes Jason. All right, cool. Very good. Very good. Last one here. Wes Unseld Jr. is in the running to be the next head coach of the Washington Wizards. When we discussed his potential hiring on Thursday's show, Skeet said whenever he hears Wes Unseld Jr.'s name, he thinks of racing legend Al Unser Jr., not NBA legend Wes Unseld, not Kevin Love, who was Wes Unseld's godson, not even Al Unser Sr., but Al Unser Jr. What's one association you and only you make, Skeets?
Well, I mean, my answer is basically there in the question, but I'll also say it's tough for me not to think of the Armadillo Cowboy in my head anytime Joe Johnson comes up. It's the weirdest nickname ever. It's somehow on Basketball Reference, even though I just came up with it over a decade ago. There was a weird reason. I won't even go into it because it's so boring, but anytime I see Cool Joe Johnson, I think of the Armadillo Cowboy, and it brings me great joy to know it's on his Basketball Reference page. And there best be, well, I don't know how many people are pulling up Joe Johnson's Basketball Reference page nowadays, but if you do, there's got to be a lot of confused people, I assume. So that's a correlation, a link, an association that I always make, Pass.
Good one. Trey.
Armadillo Cowboy would also be a pretty good Space Jam
that's
character
pretty good.
Name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Give him a Yosemite Sam kind of hat. Yeah. The Armadillo Cowboy, not bad. Scales everywhere.
Yeah.
For me, anytime somebody says, nice whatever, nice shot, nice house, nice car, I have to think of that song by Filter. That's why I say, hey, man, nice shot. Like, it's the dumbest. Like, people say things are nice all the time. It's like, oh, nice jacket. It's annoying. That song has been out for, I don't know, 25 years at some point, but there's not a lot of songs that have, like, a common sentence as their chorus. No, I don't think, hey, man, nice shot. Nice shot, man. That's it for me.
Good.
All right, yeah. Good stuff.
That's good. That's good.
JD?
Deep cut for me. I just got my license renewed, and so you have to go to the DDS, which is the Georgia Department of Driver Services. Now, whenever I look at this logo...
I think I know what you're going to say.
Do you? I mean, I don't know. Like, I just realized that it's a car over the map of Georgia.
Yeah.
But I always see the Dick Tracy logo.
I was going to say...
Is it just me? Like,
well, I was going to say Carmen Sandiego because of the sort of silhouette there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What is hat-like?
Yeah.
It's almost like UFO-like to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a UFO has landed in Georgia. But yeah, I see the Dick Tracy.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me. But especially when you see it like this and I just see it in the corner of the website and stuff. And to the point where the first 5 years that I've lived here, I was like, why do they have like an incognito private detective as the... as the DDS logo, but it's not at all. It's just a car on the map of Georgia. Anyways,
it's a weird car, though. You're right.
It's strange. Anyway, okay.
Amazing.
Yes. It looks like a hat.
Yeah.
It does look like a hat. It looks a little, it's very clip arty.
Honestly, it looks like a hat Mo Verdi would wear. Right?
Absolutely.
Got the vibes.
It's not purple.
No. It's not purple.
Yeah.
All right. Let's call it there. That's rapid fire fun. Great questions, Taz. Thanks to everybody for joining us in the stream team. Just a reminder, we are back on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, live here on YouTube. We'll flip it into a podcast as soon as possible, but we will be back on Sunday morning to recap Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which is on Saturday night. Really excited for this pivotal Game 5 of a 2-2 series in the finals. Lee says the Bucks have to win in order to win the championship. Yeah, I think that's fair. You could say whoever's going to win Game 5 will probably go on to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the case. Could be the case. But we'll see. We'll be back on Sunday morning. Keep your questions coming for Beach Steppin'. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. Leave them below this video down in the comments. Helps us defeat the algorithm. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And go to NoDunks.com. to get your No Dunks merch. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you're thinking about gambling, this is what usually happens to gamblers. Usually you're ready to make your bet. You're smiling. You're happy. It's going to be a great time. And then you lose and things go south. Just remember that. Just remember that before you make your bets.
Embrace the weekend, people. We'll see you Sunday.
It's been so long, but you
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.